States at 2 and again at 3. So did Cairo Prince. American Pharoah, as we all know, won the big one, the Kentucky Derby. Cairo Prince was a favorite for the Kentucky Derby after his impressive score in the Grade 2 Holy Bowl Stakes as a 3-year-old. The training accident ended his career, so we'll never know. But we do know that he is standing his first season at stud for 10,000 live foal. And we do know that Pioneer of the Nile stud fee has climbed to $60,000, and that was before American Pharoah won the Kentucky Derby. And we also know that Cairo Prince is a superb individual, the most expensive sales weaning and most expensive sales yearling from his sire's first crop. Go see him. You're going to like what you see. Cairo Prince stands at Mr. and Mrs. Brer and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300, WLXG Lexington, LM Communications Broadcasting Station, LM Communications, 2014 Lexington Small Business of the Year.
All right. Well, we're here. I don't know how we got here, but we're on here. Thank you, Mary Jane, down at the studio, and a busy morning here at the Thoroughbred Center. They're still working out here. The track's pretty good for them. They had a whole lot more rain than we did. I hope we got some.
I think we did.
Well, I hope we did at home. That's my wife, Jackie. And we are, as I say, here at the Thoroughbred Center. And track's muddy. But so they must have got a good rain here sometime. But we've had a bunch of work.
It's not sloppy.
Well, no, it's not sloppy, but it's slow. I mean, it's a little off, you know. But been a bunch of work. So I don't
in 50. That's good.
Yeah, that's about average for here. And they've been running pretty good out of here. We've had 21 winners out of this Thoroughbred Center since this month. And that's 21 winners in how many days? 15 days through yesterday. And we've had a winner a day since the last week's show. Marco Castaneda won one. Tommy Short won two. Tommy won one down in Mountaineer, then one in Belterra, formerly known as River Downs. Going to get down there one of these days. Take a look at that place. Ricardo Rangel won one at Belterra. Chuck Perry won one at Churchill. Scooter Hughes won one at Indiana last night, and so did Matt Frazier. Matt won with a quarter horse at the 10th race. Toby Shadow, he won a stakes with that horse down at Hialeah earlier this year. He does a real good job with him. What are we going to do today? James and Priscilla Potter, new folks in town. I don't know how long they've been in town, but not too long. They brought some land, part of the old Viking farm at the Russell Cave Road. And it was divided in two sections. The first section that was right there that I was thinking about is if you're coming out of Russell Cave, it's before, on your left, right before you get to Centerville. And then if you go on and cross 460 and you drive down a bay, I would say maybe 3 miles on the right down there, that's where they bought. And they bought a lot of land. And they're doing everything themselves. I think they came up from Florida. I'm going to get them on the show and talk to them, see what they're doing, being nosy and so forth. Michael Blowens at the Preakness, we're going to call. And you missed, Jackie. Jackie's throwing things at the trash can over in the corner. Missed. Calipari don't want you.
No, he wouldn't want me anyway.
Dr. Brian Walridge, I assume, will come in. And let's see, we'll get a hold of Steve Moody, and they're running the Kutana Stakes in two divisions today, 8th and 11th races down at Churchill Downs, 10 in one race and 11 in the other. And then, we're going to take a look at one of the old Preakness winners, probably one that nobody knows, a horse named Bold. I bet this bunch around here never heard of him, but he won it in 1951 for Brookmead Farm. Mrs. Dodge Sloan, Preston Birch trained him, and Joe Palmer wrote something about that, and we're going to talk about Bold a little bit. And let's see, we've got a young lady from Keeney with me this morning, and this is, I think she just turned pale over there. I don't know. She didn't expect this. It's Itzel Rios. Itzel, good morning.
Good morning.
I haven't seen you since Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Talk louder.
Yeah, you got to talk. Speak up a little bit.
Well, I...
That was loud. Oh.
She is with Kimi, and she's working now at Edina Springs over in Bourbon County.
Yes, I am.
Yeah. What are you working with now? What have they got you with?
They got me with brood mares and some maiden mares.
Brood mares and maiden mares.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Have you foaled anything yet?
I've helped out with a few. I've seen a couple as well.
Okay.
So that was exciting.
Yeah. Where are you from?
I'm from Texas.
Oh, well, we'll excuse you then.
Yeah. Well,
what part of Texas are you from?
South Texas, like 30 minutes from the border south.
Whew. Oh, okay.
Hot. From
McAllen, Texas.
Yeah, McAllen, Texas. Yeah. How'd you get interested in horses?
Well, I just always liked horses.
Your family have horses?
No, I was the one that pushed for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
You pushed for it.
Yeah, nobody else at home likes horses. I was the first one.
Did you start riding?
I did, yeah.
Okay. What were you riding?
I started off as a hunter, and then I switched off to dressage.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Do you know any of your brothers and sisters? Or anything?
No.
How many brothers and sisters you have?
I have two younger brothers. They're twins and an older sister.
Okay. And none of them interested in horses?
No, they didn't. But because of me, they've gotten a little bit better at it. So.
Have they come to Kentucky to see you?
No, they haven't. No, it's too far away.
Well, it wasn't too far away for you.
No, I came.
Do you live on a farm?
Here? Yes.
Yeah. We, at Edina Springs.
Yeah,
they've got
do.
Facilities for you guys out there.
Yeah, they're really nice, and they let us stay in one of the houses there.
Yeah. If you got to see the stud horses over there, they've got some good ones.
Yeah, they are nice.
Yeah. Ghost Zap or something else, isn't he?
Oh, he's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's pretty exciting to see him, yeah.
Yeah. Hall of Famer. Yeah, he's and doing extremely well. I've noticed that they mature just a little bit. They give them more time. But they last forever. You know, I mean, some of his stakes winners are 5 and 6 years old, you know, and they're winning a lot of money.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, gee whiz. And then Macho Uno is over there. And, of course, the daddy, Awesome Again.
Awesome Again, sir.
I really like him. He's
he's a good-looking horse.
Yeah.
Okay. He is.
Yeah. Do they breed most of their own mares? How many mares do y'all have there?
Ooh. I can tell you the exact number.
Whole passel?
It's a lot. I don't know the exact number for it, but it's a lot, yeah.
Had you ever been to Kentucky before when you came up?
I had not been to Kentucky before, so this was new and exciting for me.
What do you think of it?
It's great. I like it. It was a little cold at the beginning, but, you know.
A little cold. How long have you been here?
Since mid-January.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I got that snow, and I was like, oh, my God, I never want to see snow again.
Yeah.
So did you grow up on a farm?
I did not grow up in a farm.
No. Okay. Okay, so you went to high school in Texas?
I did. Yeah.
And then where?
And then I went to Texas A&M University.
Texas A&M.
Go Aggies. Whoop.
Go
Aggies. That's our buddies, Texas A&M.
Texas A&M.
Ah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, bunga.
Oh, you're having a senior moment?
Yeah, buddy.
Okay. Oh, well, those things happen. Yeah.
Stuart Burns.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and he's a vet. And then his son is now a vet at Parks.
Right up the road here.
Right up the road.
I think he's Texas A&M.
Yes, they both went to Texas A&M.
You ever get in a fight with Matt over here?
No.
But he's Kansas State.
Yeah, he told me.
Yeah. But you all are in the SEC now.
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I don't even know.
You don't keep up with the college sports?
Not a huge fan of football.
Yeah. They almost beat our basketball team down there. Just we had to go to overtime to beat you down there. Yeah.
So how'd you find out about Kimi?
One of my professors used to teach a class, and Leslie was in that class.
Oh.
And so Leslie went over and talked to one of her classes, and that's how I got in through there.
Leslie Janika?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. What was she
Leslie's
doing? Leslie's
A&M grad, too. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Is she?
Yeah,
Texas A&M, too?
Yeah.
Where is she from originally? We'll have to get her on the show.
She's from Texas.
Leslie is.
Yeah.
I swear. Everybody's moving up here.
I know.
I think I'll move to Texas. Well, I got to be empty by now.
You want to move to Texas.
Why not? It's great.
Yeah, come on. The freest state in the union these days.
Well, damn right, isn't the truth? Well, you're going to stay, or what are you planning? You don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, you'll be looking for. How long does this internship last now?
Till mid-June.
Mid-June?
Yeah.
And then they switch you over to something else, though, don't they?
If she wants to stay.
If she wants to stay, get
there's a second part for the Kimmy program. There's the spring and the fall.
Yeah, are you staying?
No, I'm not.
You're not?
You're
no.
not? You're gonna miss weaning. You're gonna miss yearling breaking. What all else goes on
the
in the fall? The sales.
Yeah.
Tisk tisk, my dear.
That's when you'd make some money. Go out and prepping the sales, so yearlings and things like that.
Yeah.
Showing sales yearlings.
I already told her because.
Well, wait a minute. You got to have a microphone.
I already told her because she's wanting to go to vet school, but she's got to wait a little bit to get accepted to one, and she's planning on going to Texas. I said, well, I got to go to Oklahoma in September for my quarter horse sales.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to convince her to come up to Oklahoma City and work the sales for me because I got 17 quarter horses I got to sell, so I got to hire some good help.
Okay.
So.
What happened to my application?
Wait a minute. Let's talk money.
Oh, they get, how's this? I hire Crystal. I hire my wife to work the sales. She makes more than me during those sales. So we'll leave it at that.
Well, she's a hell of a lot more confident than you two. She's a Kimmy grad, too,
Yeah. You never, earnestly notice, I never offered you a job down there, so we're good.
Well, you notice you would pry me out of here anyway. All right, I got to pay some bills here.
Here comes Doc.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, May 9 in Woodbine, the Grade 3 Henry Stakes. Wait a minute, Jackie. You do a commercial before you go, or can you wait?
All right.
Okay. May 9 in Woodbine, the Grade 3 Henry Stakes was won by Skylander Girl, a 4-year-old Philippa Stroll. Skylander Girl finished second in the Gulfstream's Grade 3 Marshall's River Stakes in her first start of 2015, then moved to Woodbine to place in the Grade 3 Whimsical. Prior to her victory in the Henry Stakes, she has won a place in 10 stakes, and she's earned $556,721. Stroll is sired a solid 10% stakes horses from foals. Now, that's 10% from foals, not starters. Among them, such runners as graded stakes winner Van Leo Rose, champion 2-year-old filly of her year in Canada, Afternoon Stroll, winner of the Grade 3 Appalachian Stakes at Keeneland, Sister Stroll, winner of the Grade 3 Pucker Up at Arlington, placed in the Grade 1 Queen Elizabeth II Challenge Cup at Keeneland. She goes in the stakes today, by the way. Cronin the Barbarian, winner of the $190,000 Kentucky Downs Juvenile in 2014 and placed in 2 stakes at Keeneland this year, including the Grade 3 Dania Beach, and Moonlight Stroll, placed in this year's Grade 1 Humana Distaff, to mention but a few of the hard-hitting stakes horses by Stroll. Stroll, a Grade 1 winner of over $795,000 by Sire Pulpit, stands at Claiborne Farm. For more on the Claiborne stands, call Bernie Sams at 859-233-4252 and see the website at claibornefarm.com.
It's a comforting feeling to do business with people you trust, especially when it comes to insurance. When we moved to Bourbon County, friends recommended the Hopewell Company. That was 27 years ago. And when I added it up last night, they've been taking care of our insurance needs ever since. Hopewell Company has extensive experience working with horse farms and racing stables. It's Joe and Ted McLean. And Ted, of course, trained in the stable with Secretariat, so they know what they're doing. They also cover our home, barn, vehicles, horse trailer, liability coverage, and they've been right there whenever we need them. Hopewell Insurance Company is an independent insurance company. They work for us, not the insurance companies. Therefore, they're able to offer the best coverage and most competitive prices from financially sound, reputable insurers. Contact the Hopewell Company. They provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. That's the Hopewell Company, 820 South Main Street in Paris, 987-2347, or Lexington number 254-2431. You'll get great service. We guarantee it.
Well, the Clay Ward Agency was founded back in 1931 by Mr. James Clay Ward, and they've been providing the finest in equine insurance for some 80 years now. Their success was based on hard work, dedication, and attention to detail, great service, and thorough knowledge of the horse business. Those qualities still there today. So whatever your insurance need, if it pertains to the thoroughbred, the professionals at the Clay Ward Agency are in the right position to supply the best coverage at the best price available. I would suggest that you give Shaq Parrish or Bruce Isaacs or John Hess a call at the Clay Ward Agency. Here's a number. It's a Parrish number. 859 987-1861. Or you can always stop by the office at 1102 on Main Street in Gay Paris and ask about the services while you're there. Available, if, especially if you see Shaq there, over at Indian Creek. They have been selling and raising top-class stakes winners for years now. And they've raised champions both here and abroad. And they've raised, bored, and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds right there at Indian Creek. It's a great place to board your horses, and they're thoroughly experienced in selling. They know what they're doing. They're great people to do business with. And they're one of the original sponsors of this show, by the way, and I really appreciate the folks over there at Indian Creek and at the Clay Ward Agency. Clay Ward Agency is at 987-1861. Indian Creek, 987-7443. Or go to the website at IndianCreekKY.com.
Want unlimited access?
His veterinarian's here.
The important people is here, Merson.
Yeah, well, Michael Blowen's at the Preakness. Up there hot-nobbing with all the money. And you're probably going to come away with some of it, too. What's going on up in Baltimore today, other than a horse race?
Well, it's a beautiful day, and yesterday was the Black-Eyed Susan, and we got to go to the barn and see Dortmund and see all of Bob Baffert's horse. Bob Baffert told everybody at the press conference to donate money to old friends because it's not a scam.
Oh, it's not a scam?
Yeah, he says it's not a scam.
Oh, well, I'm not going to touch that line.
Yeah, please. But, you know, you probably saw the news that our office got broken into.
Yeah.
So that was disheartening, but it's got a great ending. You know, they stole a TV and I guess just over $300 in cash, and you know, kind of made a mess of things. But nobody got hurt, and it wasn't, you know, we don't have a ton of money. We don't leave a ton of money around, so we didn't lose a lot of money. But this is the really great part. So Elaine Zen found out that we lost our TV, so they sent over a brand new flat screen TV.
Oh, isn't that nice?
And then we've already gotten over $1,000 in donations, so we may be the only victims in burglary history to end up with more money than the people it stole.
He probably staged this. Doc, what do you think? Think he might have staged this?
I don't want to be incriminated. I'm not saying that.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I would have been the first suspect if I was still home.
I tell you what, even you don't think that fast.
Wait a minute. The first race.
First race is off?
There we go.
Oh, well, call it for me. What the heck?
Yeah, there you go.
Did you bet it?
Did I bet the first race?
Yeah.
No, it hasn't gone off yet. I'm waiting, but I had good luck yesterday, so that was good. I made enough to pay for the trip.
Oh, yeah. Well, you better keep it in your pocket then, because
I'll try to.
Because you know you have a tendency to get even sometimes, and
yeah. One, well, everybody here has been really great to us, and great old friends, and. They're really supporting aftercare, and it's really, really been great.
Well, that's super. That's super.
People know how to do things in Maryland. And this supporter of ours named Fran Burns, she has a farm about 20 minutes from here up in Moncton, Maryland, and she let us stay there for free. So that was really great. And it's been a lot of fun. I can't wait to get home, though. I really...
You got somebody to pay for your gas?
Yeah, I do. And my hot air tour.
And your hot air too.
Yeah.
One and the same, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. But as long as Brian Waldridge is there, Dr. Waldridge, and as long as Tim's there, I feel very comfortable leaving the farm now. It's like I never have before. So, you know, Diane's there taking care of everything, and Cindy and Sylvia and everybody, so I don't have to worry about a thing.
Yeah, well, you're going to have to get you one of those alarm systems or something for your...
I'm glad you mentioned that, because Sheila Bays, the jeweler in town, she's donating security cameras to us. So we'll have security cameras over the farm now.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to have those anyway, especially back where the horses are.
Yeah. Well, that's great. You need something there to... you know, make a siren go off or something like that, you know, or will alert, you know,
if somebody's breaking in.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got one of those at home.
We've been there. Yeah, but you can't hear it.
Don't shut up. Had to get a dig in, didn't you? I heard you.
The only way you wake up is if there's a disco ball going off on the ceiling.
Oh, no. I was. I woke up at 3 o'clock this morning. What are you talking about?
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were up. They let me help with the tours here at Pilico. We were up at 4 o'clock doing helping with the tours.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Well, Doc, while Michael's on the phone, is everything all ready? Yeah, okay, added old friends?
As far as I know, everything's fine, so no worries.
Yeah. No calls to Dr. Walridge.
You're the best. This is great.
Yeah.
And how's Love Me Do doing?
Well, she's on track, so we're hoping to be the best kept secret in race until Friday.
Oh, you running Friday. Okay, where are you running, Indiana?
Belterra.
Belterra? Okay, well, golly, we'll have to get up there. You going to bet for us?
I'll bet whatever you want.
Well, you putting up the money.
Oh, I'm putting up the money. Oh, well, $2 bets for everybody.
$2. Does that include old friends?
That's right. If she wins, we'll donate something to old friends.
Oh, did you hear that, Michael?
Yeah, we'll get a halter. We'll get her halter. We'll auction it off.
Okay. All right. Well, you got your Preakness selections yet?
Yeah, I really want American Pharoah to win. I think it'd be great for racing. I'm very sympathetic to the situation. I love the horse. He's absolutely gorgeous. Just gotten to watch him do a little shed row walking yesterday, and just he's absolutely spectacular looking. I think it would be great for racing going into the Belmont Stakes with another chance for a Triple Crown. So I really want him to win. It's not a bettable race, I don't think, but it's certainly going to be interesting to watch.
Yeah. Looks like kind of a three-horse race. Then. Oh, there's one other horse in there. I forget which one it is now. Looks like it's got a shot.
You know who looked good? This sounds crazy, but you know who looked good? Is that horse who just broke his mate, and that Dallas Stewart horse, Taylor Burr. It'll be like 50-1, I think. But he might juice up some superfectas.
Yeah, there you go. That's Doc's bet. Yeah. Always looking for the long shot to come in fourth.
That's it.
That might be Friday.
All right. Well, we'll let you go. Go racing money.
All right, Ursel. Thanks a lot, everybody. I miss you, and I can't wait to see you on Saturday.
All right. We'll see you next week.
All right.
Well, yesterday at Pimlico, the grade $350,000 Adina Springs Miss Preakness Stakes was won by Iris Jasper, a 3-year-old filly by First Defense, bred by Mr. and Mrs. Robert E. Courtney Sr. Congratulations, Bob. Great guy. Iris Jasper came from off the pace to win going away, posting her third stakes victory. She went into the race off a score in the Bell Harbor Stakes at Aqueduct, and she won the Gasparilla Stakes at Tampa Bay as a 2-year-old. First Defense has sired the winners of 4 stakes already this month. Not this year, this month. Iris Jasper has won a pair. Dun Donnell won the Group 2 Sprint Cup at Hong Kong, and Tamberlane won the Tetrick Stakes at the Curragh. Dun Donnell has won group stakes in Great Britain also, and he's a second millionaire sired by First Defense. He was preceded by the brilliant Eclipse Award winner, Close Hatches, winner of over $2,707,000. 3 stakes winners, 2 graded stakes winners, and the winners of 4 stakes already this month. First Defense is doing the expected, and his best crops have yet to reach the races. A genetic masterpiece, First Defense is a grade 1 stakes winner by Unbridled Song. At a grade 1 winner, Honest Lady, a half-sister, by Seattle Slough to Empire Maker, and he stands for $10,000 live foal at Judmont Farm. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com. Well, my good friends over at Sally Van Service, they've been in business for going on 65, 70 years now. During that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack have also stepped into a Sally Van. And they've had plenty of practice, and they've learned a lot along the way. It's obvious that their vehicles and equipment have to be in tip-top condition. They service them there themselves. Matter of fact, most of them they build themselves. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of the drivers over at Sally Van Service, and with good reason. They're experienced drivers and they're experienced horsemen. And believe me, that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horses, whether it's across the country or across the county. When you load your horse onto a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. Here's the number over at Sally Van, 255-9640. You can go to the website, which is Sally, S-A-L-L-E-E, horsevans.com. And they also service diesels over there. They take care of your truck and refurbish your trailer, whatever. And let me tell you something about Sally Van Service. They have been the greatest van service for over 60 years, and that's why for more than 60 years, Sally Van Services have been the safest way to the winner's circle. Well, the three-year-old fillies, Lutine Bell, and She's a Big Winner, at both side stakes, have both won stakes this year at Santa Anita. Both are sired by Bellamy Road. So is Sisterly Love, winner of a Southern Award as champion older female in Canada, and a graded stakes winner at Keeneland. And Toby's Corner, winner of the Grade 1 Wood Memorial, plus two more stakes. He earned over $928,000. Position Limit, a graded stakes winner, is a two-year-old at Saratoga. All Squared Away, a graded stakes winner at Keeneland. And Victoria's Wildcat, a graded stakes winner at Churchill Downs. We can go on, but you get the drift. Bellamy Road sires runners. 22 stakes winners, four this year. Over 35 stakes horses, seven this year. In 2015, the two-year-olds have sold for an average of over $190,000. Selected as one of America's value sires by Bill Oppenheim, Bellamy Road stands for $10,000 due in a full stands of nurses. Call Darren Fox, Sean Tugel, or Kyle Wilson at Windstar Farm, 859-873-1717. Ask about possible breeding incentives and see the website at windstarfarm.com. Howard sitting over here making all and waving all kind of fingers and hands and everything because his mare's in foal to Bellamy Road.
In foal with a heartbeat. We're good to go.
In foal with a heartbeat? Okay. Yeah. Well, that helps. If it ain't beating, you're in trouble. Doc, how are you this morning?
Oh, doing well.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. Yeah. What's going on? What's on your mind this morning?
Well,
now that we got rid of Michael.
Well, that's right, yeah. So, I was hoping to see his Preakness picks. But it's getting hot, and I started to see mayflies. So I thought we could talk about Potomac horse fever.
Okay.
So you see that in the warmer times of year into the early fall. So It's time to start looking for it and thinking about it. And you know, it's one of those frustrating diseases because it looks like a lot of other things. You know, sometimes if it's a milder strain of Potomac horse fever, a horse might just have fever and be off feed. And then some of the more severe ones, there have explosive diarrhea, and about 40% will get laminitis founder. It's usually pretty severe founder too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the books will say about 25% of the horses with Potomac horse fever founder, but it sure seems to be a lot higher locally anyway. Yeah. So I think it's one of those ones we got to watch for. It's a lot. Usually, what the first thing that horse will show you is go off feed, and you take their temp, and then they have a fever, and they can be 104s, 105s. I mean, real fevers.
Yeah,
and then they'll. Some of them will get diarrhea, and most of the time it's pretty responsive just to IV tetracyclines, and you can also put them on doxycycline, which is an oral tetracycline, you know, to follow for several days. But it's when they're starting to show signs, it can be really severe because of the laminitis, the founder that they'll develop. And,
that's usually it, then, isn't it?
It's been really severe. You know, I've had some, you know, I've had them go both ways, but it seems like founder with Potomac horse fever to me was always worse than some of the other causes.
Yeah, it hits a no respect of age or anything like that.
No, it's kind of all over, and you know, yeah. it's an interesting organism. It's a bacteria, but it's carried in there's a fluke that parasitizes freshwater snails, and that fluke carries the organism. But then they've also found that fluke gets into water bugs. That's why the mayflies made me think, when I saw one of those on the door this week, I thought, well, I'll talk about Potomac horse fever. But also water insects like mayflies and caddisflies and dragonflies can carry that same fluke that carries the bacteria.
A variety of flies, in other words.
Well, they've got to be have a water life cycle to carry it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, for years, nobody really knew where Potomac horse fever came from. You know, it got its name because it's first seen around the Potomac River, you know, Maryland, Virginia, in those areas. But we started seeing it here. Down south, when I worked Alabama and Georgia, you never saw it. But so when I came back to Kentucky.
Wonder why they've got plenty of water down there.
Yeah, I don't know if we just don't have that fluke, maybe, or I guess that would be it. Probably just don't have the fluke. But it's
now you're saying fluke.
The fluke that parasitizes those snails and the water bugs.
Okay.
Carries it. So maybe we just didn't have the flukes because we do have same species of snails that can carry that fluke. So it must just be we didn't have the parasite that gets in those organisms. And so, you know, it's one of those things to keep on your mind this time of year, and because it can be really sneaky and come on pretty quick. And, you know, the diagnostics are pretty easy, but sometimes it takes a day or two to get those back.
Yeah.
So they can do a blood test and look for the DNA to the organism. Mm-hmm. To detect it. But you know, it's the other thing about that is it took us so long to figure out where that organism was and how horses got infected. You know, for years nobody really knew that. Then it was worked out it was the snails, and then it was worked out it was in the water bugs, because there was a and we've seen it here. You see it in the hospital, and then where it got figured out was in Minnesota. There was a big show barn, and it was pretty far away. I think it was miles away from the nearest river, and these horses came down with Potomac horse fever. And what they found out was, you know, they had, like a lot of people do, have a big pole light on their barn or right beside their barn, and so those bugs are attracted to light. Then they got in the horses' water buckets, and the horses ate those bugs and got infected. And I've seen that here in local farms, where because I know we had one really nice farm, their natural water source on the farm was fenced off, and they had Potomac horse fever. And we started talking to them, was there a horse by the pole light, and the horse was in a stall that was next to a light on the barn, and the bugs got in there. So it's something to think about when you're planning out your barns, is try and put those lights or the water bucket somewhere where the bugs won't be attracted and get stuck in those.
Mine aren't water up buckets at night anyway.
Yeah, mine aren't either. They have a creek, so I must not have them in my creek, which I should say, because we'll have diarrhea when I go home. But
yeah, but we've got a spring, freshwater spring, mm-hmm. back mm-hmm. on the end of the farm, mm-hmm. you know. So there's that, mm-hmm. but. You know, another that. Well, Cooper's Run runs, it isn't a quarter of a mile away. Mm-hmm. It's a creek. It runs right behind us.
Mm-hmm.
A farm right behind us goes through. So there's that water there. So it's there.
That's right. And those bugs are going to, you know, you see the bugs. Those mayflies are starting to come out. See them everywhere.
Yeah.
At least in my house.
Yeah. Flies, face flies. I hate those damn things.
Yeah, starting to see those.
What I hate are these long bugs like that that bite these horses, you know, that just, you see them, you know, they look almost the size of a wasp, but they get around a horse, and boy, they'll start running and everything.
Yeah, they will,
yeah. I got two old geldings turned out behind the barn, behind the house.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is bay and nothing bothers him. Mm-hmm. The other one's a chestnut and they're after him all the time.
Yeah.
But he's so smart now. I saw him the other day. He took off running and he'd stop and then he'd run, he'd stop. I said, you know, so I went and got my fly spray and walked out, and he saw me walking out with a can. Here he came.
Yep.
came flying up, you know, skidded up to me, you know, and stood like a rock while I sprayed him.
Yeah, that's good.
I mean, he didn't move. He knew exactly what I was doing.
I'd run away, but one, when you bring out the fly sprays.
Oh, no, he came to it. He knew what it was.
And they hate the flies. It makes me so mad.
Yeah. You use a fly mask?
Ours pull them off so bad. Really, my favorite is just to put, like we talked about a couple weeks ago, putting the cattle fly tags on their halter. Yeah, I think that works really good to get rid of face flies.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we got fly masks we use. You know, Jackie did something I thought was real smart. You know, how to get around the nose, you know, the mm-hmm. flies do, even with a fly mask.
Mm-hmm.
She gets these long strings like this, you know, maybe 6 inches long, something mm-hmm. like that, and sews them on where they hang down. And when a horse moves, those things, you know, brush them off, scare the flies away.
Yeah.
Yeah, she did. So she just sewed. See, we've got all kinds of fly masks on with those things hanging. And they look funny in heck, but they work.
Yeah, I've seen them. Somebody makes them and sells them the same. It's like a brow band that has the same kind of the same idea. It looks like a mop, you know, that kind of hangs over their eyes to help keep the face flies off.
Yeah, well, this is just hanging down from the bottom of the fly mask.
That's a good idea. Good way to make it yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I thought that was pretty good. Yeah. So we ought to be giving shots now, huh?
We should, and there is a vaccine for Potomac horse fever, but there's only one in the vaccine, and I believe this is true for every company, is the vaccine strain was from one horse in Illinois, and there's at least seven different strains of Potomac horse fever naturally, so it probably doesn't give you much protection. So, you know, check with your vet, see what they recommend, but you know, it may help you if you get exposed to that one strain that the vaccine's actually made against, but it probably won't help you if you get exposed to a different strain.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I know a few years ago.
Well, not a whole lot you knew then, is there?
No, really, other than watch. You know, try watch. Watch for that horse to go off feed and take the temp. And if it's this time
of year.
Mine
aren't getting a whole lot of feed where the grass is right now, I tell you that.
Yeah, that's right.
I get my handful of Macaulay's pellets in the morning so that I can look them over. They come up to the fence and wait, you know.
Yep.
Throw a handful in there and look and see if there's anything wrong with them. But, you know, so I better not tell. And there's one that I use at Ferry. She's got Shelly feet.
Oh, the Farrier's formula?
Yeah, Farrier's formula from Macaulay's. That works pretty good.
It does. It's a good product.
Yeah. Everything comes out of Macaulay's is a pretty good product, as a matter of fact. They've done a hell of a job. Yeah. All right, Doc. We thank you.
Well, thanks. I'll go finish hot walking.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. You bet. Well, I'm glad it's not me.
Well, if you want to, you can.
Oh, no.
No. She pulls a lot.
I've outgrown it.
She's helping with my elbow rehab quite a bit.
Yeah. Okay, it's been Dr. Waldridge, and we appreciate it, Brian. Thank you, thank you.
You're welcome.
Now, let's see. Well, De Hare has had stakes winners every year since his first crop hit the races. He's never missed. First, it was Gypsy Robin. She won the sorority stakes as a two-year-old at Mama Park, then kept right on going, winning two graded stakes, both of them grade two, at Keeneland. She won stakes at Del Mar. She won stakes at Presque Isle. Finished second in grade one test stakes at Saratoga. Earned $598,000. Moving on to this year, 2015, Mamduha has won the correction at Aqueduct and placed in the grade two distaff this year. And she goes today in graded stakes, the Vagrancy up at New York. Good luck to her. And last year, she won the Cicada stakes and the Ruthless stakes, both those in New York. Plus, she won the Gin Talking Stakes at Law as a two-year-old. She's earned over $310,000. Now, here's a couple of facts you should pay attention to. De Hare has had 16% black-type horses from starters, 13% stakes winners from foals. And those are tough stats to top among stallions standing for $5,000 live foal. Give stallion manager Kent Barnes over at Shadwell Farm a call. It's 859-224-4585. It's getting late in the breeding season, so ask Ken about possible breeding incentives and see the website at shadwellfarm.com. Well, my good friend Ralph Quillen operates the finest tack shop in the nation, Quillen Leather and Tack, which is based in Paris, Kentucky. It's the nation's largest custom halter shop. They ship out close to $20,000 halters a year worldwide. And because that's just what they ship out. Lord only knows how many they sell around here to the farms and so forth. We buy ours there, and they repair ours there. They do a great job of repairing your halters, too, if you want to go the cheap route, which is the way I like to go. And it's a great tack shop. Anything in leather, they've got it. And, they can make it for you. They will make it for you. And that not only with halters and so thing, but pet, you know, shanks and pet collars and leads and pet leases and they've got a great gift shop, you know, anything in leather they can handle, and everything is absolutely quality at Quillen Leather and Tack. Tell you where to find them. You're going into Paris, you go to the third stoplight and look on your left and you see the sign Quillen Leather and Tack. So just parking lot right behind the building there, and just go in there and say hello to Ralph or the girls. Great people to do business with. And after you leave there, you can just get in your car and go on downtown in Paris and go to Rooster Brewery down there and have a beer. And that's Ralph's quality. That's Ralph's quality place too. All kinds of beer. I mean, they've got over 100 different kinds of beer in there, and they make some of their own too. So, two great
businesses there. Ralph is very civic minded, doing a great for the city of Paris, doing great things for him. Thank you, Ralph. And that's Quill and Leather and Tack. That's the website is quillin.com, QUILLIN.com. Well, May 9 at Belmont Park, a historic grade 2, $200,000 Peter Pan Stakes was won by Made from Lucky, a 3-year-old colt from the first crop by Looking at Lucky. Made from Lucky won Going Away, won by Length from Conquest Curlante. That's the way you pronounce that? Wow. Anyway, is by Curlin. And 2 weeks off, who's by Harlan's Holiday. Bred by RMF Thoroughbreds and sold for $150,000 at the OBS March sale and trained by Todd Pletcher. He's already accumulated earnings over $378,000. He is one of 11 stakes horses, 5 stakes winners in the first crop by Looking at Lucky. 3 have won stakes this year. No second crop sire sired more stakes winners, and 5 others have placed in 2015 stakes, including One Lucky Dame, second in grade 1 stakes. Looking at Lucky, champion 2-year-old, champion 3-year-old, winner of 5 grade 1 stakes, including the Preakness, and winner of over $3,307,000. That's so much money, I can't see it. He's on his way to becoming an able replacement for his sire, the late 2-time champion sire, Smart Stripe. Looking at Lucky at Ashford Stud. For more on the stallions over at Ashford Stud, give the farm a call at 859-873-7088 and see the website at coolmore.com. I can wait. I'm going to have to, it looks like.
I better put my glasses on or it'll all be wrong. Okay.
All right. These are...
Today at the Horse Park is one of the classic horse shows. Hold on, let me find this thing. Yeah, Kentucky Spring Classic number... Let's see. What's today's date? Yeah, it's the end. Yeah, it goes till through tomorrow. Kentucky Spring Classic number 1. Although it is the second leg of the Kentucky Spring Horse Show 2010 series. Great horse show. And at the same time, this is so much fun. Tomorrow is the High Hope Steeplechase. They usually have 4 or 5 sanctioned steeplechase races, and if Jonathan Shepherd shows up, he wins them all. They have terrier races. No, the fix isn't in. What the problem happened is two weeks ago in Nashville, the Iroquois steeplechase, they have money. They give a lot of money, and the big guys go there, so the competition is a lot less here, so he shows up and pretty much sweeps the board. They're going to have the races, of course, terrier races, pony relays, and a parade of the Woodford Hounds, and tailgating. You can tailgate. Oh, it's really nice. It's super wonderful. This year, for the first time, they're having pony races, sponsored by various horse farms. What you do is could be. It has to be Pony Club riders, and they have, from 8 to 13, I think it is, and they ride their ponies, and they wear the silks of their sponsoring farm. So it's going to be really cute. One's a flat race, and I think they're like a furlong. They're not very long. One's a flat, and one's over jumps, but they're supposed to trot this stuff. And I'll bet you they break into a big fat run. I mean, they're ponies. Come on. So anyway, that's the fun thing. Those will start, they'll have those two things right before the first race.
Can we take bets on how many kids fall off?
I don't know. You might. You're strange. So I don't know. But it's a wonderful day. Walk around and find friends that you know and eat and drink and stuff. It's a good time. Next Friday starts through next Sunday. That's the 22nd through the 24th. May Day's Horse Trials. That'll be about 500 horses come in from about 20 states for the 3-day. Introductory to intermediate levels will be on display. So if you want any more information, about that good stuff, you can always call the Horse Park or go on to the Horse Park website. Hats Off Day is Saturday, July 25th, and I know that's a long way off, but this is a great day for the horse business at the Horse Park. They give away hats that say different farms and stuff. Thousands and thousands of people visit that weekend. They have exhibitions and all sorts of stuff. It's super. If you want to be a sponsor, just call Rude and Riddle, and you can. There's all kind of sponsors from a whole lot of money down to $100. So it's great. Keeneland is expanding wagering to include the Red Mile. Keeneland is going to move its year-round simulcast wagering operation to the Red Mile, that historic standard bred track in Kentucky. So, however, during the race meet and during, oh, I don't know, Derby, Preakness, Belmont, that kind of thing, and, of course, Breeders' Cup, they'll be betting at the track. We're out here at the Thoroughbred Center. Thoroughbred Center is now a great place to buy fence materials. They've got pine posts and no, you don't want pine posts. oak planks. I'm telling you. What kind? Locust. That's the kind of posts we use. Locust pokes. And anyway, if you want some, if you want to buy some, they can deliver or you can stop by and pick them up. Call Jim Pendergast at 293-1853.
Those things are treated, you know, Jackie.
Well, if they're treated, that's okay.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, they are treated. They have to be treated. Anyway. Did I blow it? Well, all I saw was poplar. I mean, whatever I said, never mind. Mereworth Farm is going to be a 1,200-acre facility in Lexington. Is going to be a sanctuary for unwanted equines and retired racehorses. So that's pretty nice. We used to live right down the road from them.
Who's that? Oh, Mereworth. Yeah.
Mereworth, yeah.
When we were with Jimmy Dryman over there.
Yeah, we used to have a baseball team called the Teasers. And we didn't have enough
softball.
People. I mean, softball. Well, yeah. And we didn't have enough people to, you know, make up a whole team, so the Mereworth guys came over. They did that all summer, and they didn't win anything. And then finally they disbanded after the Gainesway girls team beat them. So that was the end of that. They weren't going to do that anymore.
Blew a bunch of egos.
Yeah, boy. Oh, yeah, this is the thing at the High Hope tomorrow. It's called the Bluegrass Farm Pony Challenge. That's going to go off right before ages 8-13, U.S. Pony Club member, pony 14, 2 or under, and they will have farm silks to wear. There will be a pre-race Calcutta, so if you're interested in blowing your money, you can go on over there and do that, too.
Let me interrupt you.
Okay.
All right. Well, the first foals to race by Arch 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 are two-year-olds this year, and judging by the way they sold at various two-year-old auctions and by performance of his first starter, it's going to be a great year. His two-year-olds have sold for $250,000, $200,000, $150,000, $120,000. So buyers obviously like what they see. Then his first to reach the races really opens some eyes. Teal Floor, it's a filly, took on the colts in a maiden special at Keeneland, and she won by 9 1/4 lengths, no contest. And there's more on the way. Arch 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 covered 475 mares in his first three seasons at stud. Breeders liked his looks, liked his foals, and came back for more. Arch 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 is the only son of Arch who stands for $40,000 to win stakes at both 2 and 3. And there goes my paper blowing away. Somebody tell good Lord turn the wind off. I got it. He's a grade one winner, a multiple graded stakes winner, and he earned over $832,000. He also descends from a terrific female family. Arch 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 stands for $9,000 doing a full stand to nurses. Call Des Dempsey, Brian Lyle, and Mark Toothacker at 859-294-0030. Ask about possible breeding incentives and see the website at spendthriftfarm.com. Well, Lubricin and Reborn are two products developed by one of the nation's top veterinarians, Dr. Steve Alday, who does a whole lot for old friends, too. He's a nice guy and a great vet. And Lubricin and Reborn are two products that I happen to believe in. Both of them are endorsed by many owners, trainers, and veterinarians, people who know a whole lot more than I do. And both, incidentally, are all natural, test-free. Don't have to worry about the spit box. Lubricin, to put it simply, sustains the integrity of joint fluid, helps reduce the need of injections and so forth. Trainers that use Lubricin on a regular basis include Todd Pletcher, Tony Dutrow, Jerry Hollandoffer, Mike Maker, and some of those. Some of, let's see, Stop Charging Maria, who just won another graded stakes yesterday at Pimlico, runs on Lubricin. they also have it for humans, which I use it, and it even helps old codgers like me. Now, Reborn is 100% sterile, whole concentrated natural bovine colostrum. Safe, easy to use as a dietary supplement for horses of all ages. Start with foals. What it does is strengthens the foal's immune system while he's nursing on a mare because of its high concentration of growth factors and antibodies. Actually, it supports immune functions of horses of all ages. I tell you who ran on that too, Wise Dan. And so Charlie Lopresti knows what he's doing. And those are two great products, Lubricin and Reborn. Go to Lubricin.com, Lubricin.com, or Reborn, Reborne.com. You can pick them up at KBC here in Lexington or at Horse Sense over in Versailles. And the human kind, which tastes real good, incidentally, you can pick up over at Old Friends, unless those people stole it last night while breaking into the Old Friends. All right. Well, now let's see. Rosalind won the Grade 2 Sheepshed Bay Stakes at Belmont on May 2. She has earned $557,164. Rosalind is by Broken Vow. Sold last year at Facy Tipton for $1 million. Of course, at that time, she'd already won Grade 1 Stakes. Thus, the $1 million investment. You can hit a big lick with at the sales and at the races with a Broken Vow. Broken Vow and his stable mate at Pin Oak Stud, Alternation, both descend from the same female family, as do many other superior runners bred by Pin Oak Stud. Broken Vow's by Unbridled. In fact, he is Unbridled's most successful son at Stud. Alternation is by Distorted Humor, a champion sire, and Alternation was quite a runner. He won 6 stakes, among them Greatest Stakes at Belmont, Pimlico, won 2 Greatest Stakes at Oaklawn, and he earned over $1 million. First foals are arriving this year, and they are superb, just like their sire. Stands for $7,500, doing a foal stands and nurses. And here's a fun inducement. 10% of the winner's purse will be paid to the breeder of any 2-year-old maiden special winner from his first 3 crops. So even if you sell, they'll still be running for you. That's a lot of fun. Call Clifford Berry and Nancy Stevens at 859-873-1420 before it's too late. Book a mare and see the website at pinoakstud.com. You're up.
Okay. Keep Foundation is getting that license plate with Seattle Slough on it, where they haven't trimmed his bridle path. It sticks up. Anyway.
Boy, she's real critical of everything today, isn't she?
I know. Anyway, they're nice. When you get them, even if you go in and get your new license plate, you know, like we had to go in and renew our plates, you can go in and $25, and they just issue you another one. You don't have to re-register your car or anything. That was my question. So when they're out, they're pretty nice. This weekend, Nori Scheffel, Scheffel Ridge Farm in Paris, is having her 2-day horse show. It's very nice if you're interested. You can give her a call, 509-0404. Next weekend, Lakeside Arena on the 23rd and 24th is having Hunter Jumper shows. Actually, 23rd, 24th, 25th. That's Hunter Jumper. That's Lakeside in Versailles. Yeah, Kentucky Hunter Jumper shows. That's a nice facility down there. Okay, Keeneland Library Lecture Series. There's one more. It's June the 2nd. It will be out at the Keeneland Library. It's Milt Toby, and he's going to talk about his book, Noor, A Champion Thoroughbred's Unlikely Journey from California to Kentucky. And now the destination of that journey was old friends, right?
Yep.
Noor is buried.
He's buried over there.
Yeah.
His remains.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's about all I've got. You know, horse park, horse shows, and that pretty much sums it up.
All right. Well, Private Zone, Matt, we'll get you on right after the right at the top of the hour. Private Zone has earned $1,888,120. He won the Grade II $500,000 Churchill Downs Stakes on Derby Day. He's also won the Grade I Cigar Mile, and he has twice won the historic Grade I Vosburgh. He's a brilliant sprinter, routinely getting 6 furlongs and 108 and chains. He also aptly demonstrated the versatility of his sire, Macho Uno. Macho Uno has sired Grade I winners at distances from 6 furlongs to 10 furlongs. His Mucho Macho Man won the 10-furlong Breeders' Cup Classic. Darn near won it twice, on his way to earning more than $5,635,000. Macho Uno won the Grade I Stephen Foster. Wicked Style won the Grade I Breeders' Futurity. And we can go on. Macho Uno has sired 6 Grade I winners. Private Zone was, incidentally, bred and sold as a yearling by Dina Spring. So remember that at the 2015 sales. They raise a lot of runners, and they sell a lot of runners at Adena Springs. Macho Uno is the sire of 4 2015 stakes winners. The sales yearlings routinely bring up upwards of $100,000. To learn more about the stands at Adena Springs, call Cormac Breathnock or Jack Brothers at 859-987-1798. Take a look at the website, adenastallions.com.
I was talking one day to one of them. Oh, gee, that's the sound.
Well, American Pharoah is from the first crop of Pioneer of the Nile. So is Carol Prince. American Pharoah won Greatest Stakes at 2 and again at 3. So did Carol Prince. American Pharoah, as we all know, won the big one. He won the Kentucky Derby, goes to Dana Preakness. Carol Prince was a favorite for the Kentucky Derby after his impressive score in the Grade II Holy Bull Stakes as a three-year-old. A training accident ended his career, so we'll never know. But we do know that he's standing his first season at stud for $10,000 live foal. And we do know that Pioneer the Nile stud fee climbed to $60,000, and that was before American Pharoah won the Derby. And we also know that Carol Prince is a superb individual. Most expensive sales weanling and the most expensive sales yearling from his sire's first crop. Go see him. You're going to like what you see. Carol Prince stands at Mr. and Mrs. Burton. See don't Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com. And keep in mind, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300, WLXG Lexington, an LM Communications broadcasting station. LM Communications, 2014 Lexington Small Business of the Year.
Anyway, we're starting the second hour of Horse Tales as we speak. And Matt, you got something to say about the teaser situation here in
Well, I got the nursemare situation.
Well, okay, go ahead.
No, we've put it out, and it's now on the farm manager's website. Once again, if you have a nursemare, we really want to push to get those bred back, simply because when you need one, and sometimes they're hard to find, and I actually have a nurse mare on my farm right now. We lost the mare, and we have a great nurse mare. She's good, and the big thing is we've got to get them back in full. So, well, Randy Gilbert, who's the president of the Farm Managers Club, and myself, we and the board there, have come up with is if you need your nurse mare bred back, whether you have a teaser or one who can't produce, just get a hold of myself or Randy Gilbert. And what we'll do is I'll haul my teaser over to Rude and Riddle, and Dr. Brady Camp will collect him, and we'll have cooled semen ready for you. And the cost is $150. And if you bring your mare into Rude and Riddle, Dr. Brady Camp will breed her for free. Mm-hmm. And if you want to save money all around, if you get a hold of me and we can line it up, you can bring your nurse mare and your foal to the farm that day. We'll put it in isolation, and we'll breed your nurse mare to my teaser live cover, and we won't charge you anything. But just if you have any questions or need help with this, just call Randy, and I don't have his number. It's in the directory, or call myself and on my cell phone, and we'll get it worked out. Our biggest thing is we want to help the nurse mare people because they help us.
Yeah. What's that website now?
The KTFMC.org.
KTFMC.org. Okay.
And it's on there. My number's on there. Randy's is on there. So, okay. And we want to help the nurse mare people out because they help us out every year.
Yeah, you may need a nurse mare one of these days, so we want to have one available.
Right. Yep. So.
All right, Matt. We thank you.
Who Matt likes for the Preakness?
Oh, yeah. Who you liking the Preakness? Give me
I still like
eliminate one.
I still like firing line, and I like where he's positioned at. He's on the outside.
Yeah.
Of course, I like Dortmund, of course. But Dortmund and American Pharoah, they drew the inside, which that could be rough. And then, of course, the long shot is I do like that Tel Aviv for a long shot. What he's done, it's a Tel Vicati.
Okay.
But that's my long shot. But I'm going for firing line.
Firing line?
Firing line.
All right. I like Dortmund.
Dortmund, but we've all got ties to him around here. So.
Yeah, I know. That's where we're highly biased.
But still, even without the ties to it, Dortmund's a good horse, whether Millie had it or not. It's a good horse.
Yeah.
So I like him. But I've got to go with firing line. I think he can catch American Pharoah. Now, if American Pharoah does win, I'll be rooting for him 100% on the Belmont.
Yep.
So
there you go. All right, my friend. We do thank you.
Let me see
where we are now. Want to try to get a hold of Moody?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll call you right
back. All right. Let's see.
Thanks.
Where we are. Let me do the. Well, let's look at these stakes from at Pimlico from yesterday.
While you do your report, you can go.
Oh, I'm supposed to get my picture taken with this lovely young lady.
I think I'm doing it right.
You just press the button. Okay.
You might be at 5 over.
He's got his finger over the lens.
He probably got his finger over the lens.
Again.
Wow, I want that one on the website. Thanks for coming by. One of our little Kimi friends that I met the other day. She's from Medina Springs, incidentally, and from Texas. Okay, winner of stakes yesterday. I'll give you all the stakes races from yesterday, a bunch of them. Of course, the grade two Black Eyed Susan stakes winner was Keen Pauline. Keen Pauline is a pulpit filly bred by Stone Street Thoroughbred Holdings. They also own it. Stone Street, of course, over on Versailles Frankfurt Road. Good customers of Macaulay's. Raised all their horses on Macaulay's. And Keen Pauline went from wire to wire, 1 by 2 3/4 lengths. This is the Adina Springs Miss Preakness Stakes yesterday, a grade three race at Pimlico. Went to Iris Jasper. Iris Jasper is a 3-year-old filly by First Defense who's having a tremendous. He's got the winners of 4 stakes already this month. And one of the finest horsemen ever around here, Bob Courtney and his wife, bred this one, and Irish Jasper is, as I said, a filly by First Defense out of a Mr. Greeley mare, and she came from off the pace and won by a length and a quarter. She's got First Defense has got 3 stakes winners, and they've won 4 stakes in the month of May. The grade $350,000 Allaire DuPont Distaff winner was Stop Charging Maria. She's a brilliant filly by Taylor the Cat, who's one of those top studs over, of course, at Ashford Stud. This one bred by Harvey Clark and Brookdale Farm. And she won by 4 lengths. And saw her coming. She went off at 60 cents on a dollar. The $100,000 Hillboro Stakes at Pimlico went to Miss Temple City. Miss Temple City, a 3-year-old filly. From the first crop by Temple City, who stands over here at Spencer Farm, and he was bred by Bob Fell Bloodstock. Temple City, one of those horses over there, first crop that's hitting. The Grade One Man of War Stakes, well, goes back until last weekend. But I've got to tell you what I'll do. Have you got a friend on there yet?
Not yet.
Okay. I'll just go ahead and give, while I'm at it, I'll just go ahead and give the Kentucky Bred Stakes winner some. Last week, the Grade One Man of War at Belmont Park, Twilight Eclipse won that. Bred by Epona Thoroughbreds, that's Gilding is a 6-year-old, and he is by Purim. Bred by Epona Thoroughbreds, the Grade One Vanity at Santa Anita, $300,000 pot over there. My Sweet Addiction won that. A 5-year-old mare by Tis Now, bred by Pamela Zeboth, and Wired to Field going 1 1/8. And Tis Now, of course, at Windstar Farm. Demonstrative won the grade one Calvin Houtland Iroquois Hurdle Stakes. Don't laugh. $150,000 pot at Percy Warner. I don't know where Percy Warner is. But anyway, it's a hurdle stakes going 3 miles. And this is an elusive quality gilding. He's 8 years old and he was bred by Gainsborough Farm. Grade one stakes race. Grade two Peter Pan at Belmont Park last weekend went to Made from Lucky. That's a 3-year-old colt from the first crop by Looking at Lucky, bred by RMF Thoroughbreds, Looking at Lucky. Another one of those Ashford Stallion studs. The grade two Ruffian Stakes went to Wedding Toast. Wedding Toast, a 5-year-old mare by Street Sense, bred by Darley. At Santa Anita's grade three Lazaro Barrera Stakes winner was Kentuckian. A 3-year-old colt by Tiz Now, bred by Stone Street Thoroughbred Holdings. At Kentuckian, incidentally, he's not the original Kentuckian. The first one that I knew, Preston Madden owned. In fact, Preston bred him, I'm pretty sure. He might have raced him because he was by T.V. Lark. T.V. Lark stood over at Preston's Hamburg stud. And Kentuckian was a foal in 1969. Raced out on the coast. I know he won the San Gabriel and a couple other graded stakes out there at the time. And T.V. Lark was by Indian Hemp, a son of Naz Rule. Indian Hemp stood in California. T.V. Lark was a champion grass horse in 1960. Topped the sire list in 74. I think he ran, he finished second in 1972. I remember I was working at the Daily Racing Form then. It was a real close race between, I forget who the leading sire was that year, and T.V. Lark, and Preston called and says, can't you find another couple of $1,000 for T.V. Lark? I said, we're digging, Preston. But fine horseman and did a marvelous job over at Hamburg Place. Anyway, but that was the original Kentucky, and he was a foal, I believe, in 1969. Well, Kentucky, and great name, oh, isn't it? Yeah. Told him so at the time. $75,000 Marcellus Frost Hurdle Stakes, $75,000 going 2.25 miles, also at Percy Warner. Went to Saros, and that's a 7-year-old gilding. He's just a youngster. He's by Dinah Former, bred by John and Sarah Kelly. The Decathlon Stakes, AP Indian won that. That's an Indian Charlie, a gilding, 5, bred by the Green Lantern Stables. That's Richard Masson. I believe over in Midway. And, of course, the race named after Decathlon, champion sprinter by Olympia, that was bred by the Knuckles brothers. Out of a mare named Dog Blessed by Bulldog, I do believe. How I remember that, I don't know. Knucks will call me and straighten me out if I don't have it right. Then Bridal Sydney Stakes at Churchill Downs last week went to Katie's Eyes. That's a 4-year-old filly by Leroy DeSantamo. Leroy DeSantamo, bred by Liberation Farm and Brandywine Farm, and raised over at Brandywine Farm. Let's see. Of course, that's stud horse now in Florida. Sky Preacher won the Alcatraz Stakes out at Golden Gate Fields. Now, you can see Alcatraz right from Golden Gate, incidentally. I know because I've been at Golden Gate, and no, not Alcatraz. But when I went into service, they sent me to a school on Treasure Island, and Treasure Island is right in the middle of the bay, San Francisco Bay. You cross it to get to Oakland, and of course, there's on the Oakland side is. Golden Gate, and then if you're on Treasure Island, you can see both Golden Gate, and you can look on the other side of the island and see Alcatraz. I know because the first mid-watch I ever had to stand was on Treasure Island on Christmas night, and I had to mid-watch from midnight to 4 in the morning. And looking out at Alcatraz with my rifle walking back and forth, which wasn't loaded. Neither was I.
Gee whiz, that's a shame.
Yeah,
that's the saddest story I've ever heard.
I thought, you know, she shed a tear. The Hastings Sakes over at Emerald Downs went to Kissel Blue by Kodiak Cowboy. I don't know where he is now. Charles Huber, William Bryan, and the Cowboy Kodiak Cowboy Syndicate bred that one. And let's see, we had a couple of stakes. So we won a couple of stakes. Well, I believe I might have given it, but I'll give it again. The Tetrock Stakes at the car. I went to Tomberlane. that was a 3-year-old colt by First Defense, bred by Judmont Farm, owned by Judmont Farm. The Dahlia Stakes, Group 3 at Newmarket, went to Bragging. That's an exchange rate filly, bred by Judmont Farm. I had a pretty good weekend. And the Huxley Stakes, Grade 3 at Chester, went to Maverick Wave, an elusive quality, bred by Jim Plemons and Dolly. So those are three foreign stakes that... So that's that. So, okay, May 9 at Woodbine, the Grade 3 Henry Stakes was won by Skylander Girl, a 4-year-old filly by Stroll. Skylander Girl finished second in Gulfstream's Grade 3 Marshes River Stakes in the first start of 2015, then moved on over to Woodbine to place in Grade 3 Whimsical Stakes prior to her victory in the Henry. She has won a place in 10 stakes. She's earned over $556,000. Stroll has sired a solid 10% stakes horses from foals. That's 10% from foals now, not starters. Among them, such runners as graded stakes winner Van Leer Rose, champion 2-year-old filly of her year in Canada. Afternoon Stroll, she won the Grade 3 Appalachian Stakes right out here at Keeneland. Sister Stroll, winner of the Grade 3 Pucker Up at Arlington, placed in the Grade 1 Queen Elizabeth II Challenge Cup at Keeneland. She goes in the stakes today. Cronin the Barbarian, winner of the $190,000 Kentucky Downs Juvenile in 2014, is placed in 2 stakes of Gulfstream this year, including the Grade 3 Dania Beach. Moonlight Stroll, placed in this year's Grade 1 Humana Distaff, to mention just a few of the hard-hitting stakes horses by Stroll. Stroll, a Grade 1 winner of over $795,000 by Sire's Pulpit, stands at Claiborne Farm. For more on the Claiborne stands, call Bernie Sams at 859-233-4252 and see the website at claibornefarm.com. All righty. Where am I here? Okay. My friends Hill and Reagan Parker, they were out here. There goes Susie. No, that's not Susie. Somebody else. Somebody takes their pickup truck and jogs a horse with it or going to the paddocks over here on the backside of the training center.
That may be the new Outrider.
They got a new Outrider?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Kelly something. It's a man.
Oh, okay.
First name Kelly.
Yeah. Well, anyway, way he went. Horse going by. I thought maybe it was Susie, the Parker here, because she...
All of her horses go alongside trucks.
Yes, yeah. One of them getting the back. LexHorseFarms.com. That's Hill and Reagan Parker. They're in the real estate business for over a dozen years now. They're real horse people, helping real horse people. Hill's a superior horseman. Hands-on guy, licensed trainer, A-level pony clubber from where most of our Olympic riders come from. And I tell you what, they've got a great agency. they've got a great website. I'll give it to you here in a minute. You can go check out some of the places they've got for sale. They'd be glad to sell your place for you, or they'd be glad to find a farm for you. And they can help you find the perfect farm just for you. They've got outstanding variety of locations and sizes and prices, which is important. I know the in Fayette, Bourbon, Jesmond, Woodford, Scott, Clark County. Got nice places over in over close to Paris. Got one right up here still in Fayette County, but it's right up here on the Paris Lexington Rose. Gorgeous place. Another one over on Russell Cave. So got a historic federal house over there, 1820 model. 50-acre sport horse farm. They got another farm over in Winchester. It's another really nice place. Here's they got a nice home. They sell houses, too, because they got a really lovely place over in Versailles, right at 4,750 square feet. And, boy, it's right downtown Versailles, too. Got another house, a farm over in Paris on Escondido Road, priced just right. Another one over in Versailles. It's a great website. Let me give it to you. It's LexHorseFarms.com, LEXHorseFarms.com. That's Hill and Reagan Parker. They're really lovely people, nice people. 859-608-8039. They work real hard for you and to get the job done, and then got a reputation for getting the job done. So you can't ask for any more than that. Once again, that's Hill and Reagan Parker at LexHorseFarms.com. Well, only two stallions retired to stud in 2013, won as many as three grade one stakes. One stands for $20,000, the other for $5,000. That would be Get Stormy, fee $5,000, payable when the foal stands in nurses. Breeders came to get a good look at Get Stormy, liked what they saw, liked the looks of his first foals, and came back for more. He covered 231 mares in his first two seasons at stud. You'll see his first crop yearlings this year. You're going to like them, too. Get Stormy won grade one stakes at Churchill Downs, won grade one stakes at Keenan, won grade one stakes at Gulfstream, won a place in 15 stakes, 13 graded, earned over $1,606,000. He was a terrific racehorse. He is also one of more than 90 stakes winners by Stormy Atlantic, a top son of Stormcat. Go to Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm and take a good look at Get Stormy and the other Crestwood stallions. Give them a call over there. The number is 859-252-3770. Try that again, 252-3770. Getting late in the breeding season, so ask them about possible breeding incentives to one of their studs over there. And they've got a nice variety of bloodlines and ability over there, so go see them. Great place, incidentally, if you're selling to board your marriage, you won't find nicer people in the world than the folks over at Crestwood Farm. And take a look at the website, crestwoodfarm.com. All righty. Well, let's see where we are now. My guests didn't show up. I had a feeling they wouldn't. So.
You mean when they said no?
Yeah. I hope my voice holds up. We should see what we can do about it. Of course, they're running the Preakness today. Anybody want to give me their Preakness winner, stop by the clocker stand here at the Thoroughbred Center, and we'll talk about your Preakness selections. And I'm going to try to read something from Joe Palmer if my voice holds up. Trying to get a hold of my good friend Steve Moody. Maybe he can bail me out. But Joe was writing about the Preakness. So this is from his book, or book about his
this column. Was racing.
This was racing. Excerpts from columns that he wrote. And he wrote about the Pimlico and the Preakness. Dateline, Baltimore, Maryland. This was written back in the 1940s. On the Friday before the Preakness inquiry was duly made, where, for instance, was Barnum's Hotel? Who was Mr. John T. Walsh? It would be nice to get a bet down without having to fight the Preakness crowd. You all right, said the man? Did you get sick on the train or stand in the sun, maybe? I know you didn't buy tickets on the Kentucky Derby when Dawn's left hand is in the sky, but we don't start betting on the Preakness the night before. Well, then, was the petulant reply, why do you print it on the program? And why do you have only four races? The man seemed to be counting. Let me take a look at that program, he said after he got to 10. Sure enough, the program read, pools on the improved Paris Mutual Plan will be sold every night before the races. Mr. John T. Walsh of Kentucky will also sell pools on the old plan every morning and evening at Barnum's Hotel. The man drew a small mirror from his pocket and looked at himself carefully. Then he looked at the program again. Said, I knew the taxicab situation in Baltimore was bad, he said finally. But you've had to wait longer than most. This program is for the spring meeting of 1875. It wasn't a taxicab situation, of course. It was just a case of putting it on an old suit without looking through the pockets. It was carelessness, too, because the program showed Tom Olachi entered in a maiden race. And, of course, every schoolboy knows that in 1877, the famous race between Tom Olachi, Parole, and Tenbroke drew so many members of Congress to Pimlico that a quorum could not be obtained, and the session had to be adjourned. Such a race would still draw congressmen, but these days they would be investigating something. Nothing enhances crab meat a la Newburg like the knowledge that you can put it on an expense account. This may give you the idea that Pimlico has been around for a while. It was just 8 days before Tom Olachi won his first race. Let me turn the page here. My grubby little fist is probably sticking together. There we go. Let me say that again. It was just 8 days before Tom Olachi won his first race that Aristides had won the first Kentucky Derby. And Baltimoreans were fingering curiously the new silver 25-cent pieces whose coinage had just been authorized by Congress. You know how long it's been since Congress thought about any sum of money without a string of zeros after it. At this year's Kentucky Derby, there was a band in Confederate uniforms suggesting that General Lee's surrender at Appomattox had not been recognized. Pimlico's band appeared in red coats, apparently feeling that the action of Cornwallis at Yorktown might have been precipitant. When racing first started in Maryland, in fact, it was a crown colony, and people who were talking about independence did not mean Independence, Missouri. There is another faint parallel with the Derby. You know the argument about whether it should be pronounced Derby or Darby. Last year, there was a complaint from a man who said that Preakness was a Dutch word, and it should be pronounced Preakness instead of Preakness. I did not care to try it in Baltimore, because the last Kentucky senator who pronounced Aristides with the accent on the second syllable was defeated for re-election. Hill Prince seemed to be the rooting favorite around Baltimore, not because of any dislike for Middle Ground or King Ranch or Max Hirsch, but because he came from neighboring Virginia. Maryland prefers its own horses, of course, and there was considerable dropping from the rafters when Loser Weeper pulled out in the Dixie. And if you ever want to get into something, just be around when a Maryland horse wins the Preakness. This department was present when Chaladon threw himself like a bull pup at the Preakness Field in 1939 and still retains pleasurable, though confused, recollections of that occasion. The history of the Pimlico contains fixtures, has certain art angles which fascinate this onlooker. You've heard that there are 1,000 ways to lose a horse race, of course, but that's for a horse or a better. I doubt if you ever heard of a racetrack losing one of its features for 14 years. During an unguarded moment, the Preakness escaped from the ground for 15 years, lived in hiding at the old Gravesend Court. Then it was apprehended and brought back, but this dropped from history until recently. Like the story of the man in the iron mask, there remains a question of whether mistaken identity is involved. There was no Preakness Stakes at Pimlico between 1894 and 1908 inclusive. There was a stakes that name run at Gravesend. Now, was it the same race, or were there two Preaknesses? Or, as our Mr. Smith puts it with his Latin flair, Preakni. A Mr. Alexander Dumas solved the identity of that gloomy figure in French monarchical history to his satisfaction. A Mr. Dave Woods has solved the question of the wandering Preakness to his satisfaction. He says it's the same character. To be sure, he does public relations for Pimlico and might, in other quarters, be considered prejudiced. An oddity of this is that nobody remembers. There are still a good many men around who raced at Gravesend in the old days, but none of them can recall the moving of the race. Nor has Mr. Woods been able to find any documentary evidence in the publications of the time. A year after the discovery of the hidden life of the Preakness from 1894 to 1908, Mr. Woods discovered three runnings of the Dixie Handicap at the old Bennings track in Washington, D.C. There was a polite skepticism here. To find some Preaknesses was strain enough. To find more Dixies was too much. Next thing you know, he'd come up with Atlantis and contend that the first running of the Preakness was held there the year before Matt Wynn stood on the tailgate of that wagon. Well, it turned out that this unbeliever had chosen the wrong ground for battle. Mr. Woods produced a clipping from the New York World, November 22, 1904. The Arthur lit on Bennings for theft. Bennings had the Dixie, he said, on the single plan that they should take who had the power and should keep the who can. In case anyone was left with any doubts, he went on to say, in other words, the Bennings people stole the Dixie. To lose the Preakness and allow the Dixie to be stolen, of course, suggests willful carelessness. But Bennings died in that same year, in 1904, and Pimlico repossessed itself of the Dixie, though it was kept in refrigeration for some years. And Mr. Woods routed the lost Preakney from his hiding place. So all ends well, like an old song. That's Joe Palmer writing. He also wrote about the Pimlico Special, but here, let me do something else here. They ran the Pimlico Special yesterday in Cincinnati. Yesterday at Pimlico, the grade $350,000 Dena Springs Miss Preakness Stakes was won by Irish Jasper, a three-year-old filly by First Defense. Bred by Mr. and Mrs. Robert E. Courtney Sr., Irish Jasper came from off the pace to win going away, posting her third stakes victory. She went into the race off a score in the Bell Harbor Stakes at Aqueduct, and she won the Gasparilla Stakes at Tampa Bay as a two-year-old. First Defense decided the winners of four stakes already this month. Irish Jasper has won a pair of stakes. Dundanel won the Group 2 Sprint Cup at Hong Kong. And Tamberlane won the Tetrick Stakes at the Curragh. Dundanel has won group stakes in Great Britain, and he's the second millionaire side by First Defense. He was preceded by the brilliant Eclipse Award winner Close Hatches, winner of over $2,707,000. Three stakes winners, two in graded stakes, and the winners of four stakes already this month. First Defense is doing the expected, and his first crops have yet to reach the races. Huh? A genetic masterpiece, First Defense is a grade one stakes winner by Unbridled Song, and a grade one winner, Honest Lady, a half-sister by Seattle Slough to Empire Maker, and he stands for $10,000 live foal at Judmont Farm. Inquiries to Garrett Awoker, Aaron Fry. See the website, judmont.com.
Herschel.
Yeah.
Pick one.
Pick one what? Oh, okay. Want to play one of these things?
Yeah, play one. I haven't heard one in a while.
I want one of these. Okay. I don't care. Tell her to pick one.
Oh, for God's sake.
Anyway, go with, we didn't get to do this one. Just go to the very last one.
Man of War.
Man of War. That'd be all right. We'll give the death of Man of War. All right. So you got that? What are you doing?
Somebody should talk. This is radio. They can't see the look on your face.
Oh, okay. I can't read it upside down either. All right. Well, Kentucky and Forest Blue won two in the Grade 3 Lazaro Barrera Stakes at Santa Anita. Both were raised on products from McCauley Brothers. Kentuckian was bred by Stone Street Thoroughbred Holdings, Forest Blue by John Phillips and Pam Garten, and raised at Darby Dan. In addition, the Unbridled Sydney Stakes at Churchill was won by Katie's Eyes, bred by Liberation Farm and Brandywine Farm, and raised at Brandywine. And Marmorth Park's Decathlon Stakes winner, AP Indian, was bred by Good Green Land and Stable of Richard Masson. Congratulations to all. Horses which received the benefits of McCauley products in their most formative years of development on the farm, they've won 62 stakes already this year. That's through last weekend. 35 of the 62 were graded stakes, 8 grade 1. Call Mike Warren or David Longmire. Talk to them about the McCauley products and see the services and the free services that come with every bag of feed you purchase. See the website at MacaulayBros.com, and you're welcome to stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. McCauley Brothers, that's where it's all about the horse. She can play the one before if the Man of War isn't on there. Daily Racing Farm Breeding Edition is out today. It's a magazine section insert this week. And they're featuring the Mid-Atlantic Stallions with articles about them. Let's see who wrote these articles. Joe Neville wrote about the Mid-Atlantic sales coming up. The Facing Tickler Mid-Atlantic 2-year-olds in training sale, which was on May 18th and 19th. It will be on May 18th and 19th at the old Timonium Pavilion at the Maryland State Fairgrounds at Timonium, Maryland. You know, they still race a little bit at Timonium. It's a bull ring, but they race there. Let's see. Nicole Russo is writing about Orion Tate, who is a leading active Maryland sire by 2014 earnings. He is the son of Mount Livermore, stands over there. Maryland General Sires by 2014 earnings, Not for Love, Orientate, Lionhearted, Dance with Ravens, Giacomo. And she's also writing about Pennsylvania Sires, featuring, which one is she going to be? The leading sire over there, Jumpstart. Oh, okay. Well, I remember when he stood in Kentucky. Daily Racing Farm Breeding Edition is the most trusted resource for reaching decision makers in the thoroughbred breeding industry. You find in-depth breeding news, sales and auction coverage, and a whole lot more if you sign up for their Data Racing Forums Breeding Newsletter Edition. It's so here's where you go. You go to drf.com/breeding today and sign up for their breeding edition. Check it out. That's drf.com/breeding. I don't think you need to add the day on there. What else is in there? John Sparkman's got an article on there about some storm cats sending over in that direction, in the mid-Atlantic direction. And they've got sire lists, leading general sires at Maryland and at Pennsylvania, the two bigger establishments over there. So it's anyway, that's the Daily Racing Form Breeding Edition. And, of course, they've got a bunch of PPs in there that are important. Churchill, Belmont, Gulfstream, Bell Terror, Arlington Park, Woodbine, Monmouth, and Canterbury. Racing's Bible, the Daily Racing Form. All right. Now we're going to filling in some time here because my guest didn't show up. I've been stood up before, been stood up by nicer people. But anyway, we're going to do another Joe Palmer, and we're going to play this one. This is off my DVD that I did a little bit earlier, CD, anyway. And which one we're doing? Stymie? Yeah. Common Folks? Okay. Well, all right, we'll go ahead and play that, Mary Jane.
Stymie began his racing career in cheap $1,500 claiming races, and went on to become the leading money-winning thoroughbred upon his retirement at age 7 in 1949. Stymie, Common Folks. On the cold, blustery afternoon of January 28, 1921, several hundred persons huddled in the wind-swept stands of the old Kentucky Association track at Lexington to see one horse gallop past them. Down he came, a great red chestnut with a copper mane and a high head, flying the black and yellow silks of Samuel D. Riddle. This was Man of War, leaving the racetracks forever. 14 years passed before Lexington considered another horse worth a turnout. Then on March 11, 1935, some 500 citizens assembled on a foul, wet afternoon to see Equipoise take his last public gallop. This was at the private track of the C.V. Whitney Farm, because it was in that unbelievable two-year period when Lexington had no public racetrack. The next performance, as far as I know the last one, came on August 8, 1943, when Calumet celebrated Whirlaway Day. By this time, the Chamber of Commerce had got into the act, and there was a remarkable spate of congressmen, Southern oratory, news cameras, and radio announcers. This is not a complete list. It is unlikely, though you can never tell about a Chamber of Commerce, that there will be any such doings over Stymie when he arrives to enter the stud at Dr. Charles Haggard's Green Ridge Farm. It isn't that the other horses were Kentuckians coming home, and that Stymie's an outlander from Texas. It was thoroughly appropriate that Stymie should have his final public appearance at Jamaica, because he's a Jamaica kind of horse. Though I have no doubt he will do well in the stud, his kinship is with the racetrack, not the breeding farm. Man of War, Equipoise, and Whirlaway were all equine royalty from the day they were foaled. Stymie was Common Folks. It is true that he carries the blood of both Equipoise and Man of War, but all pedigrees are purple if you go back a little. He was the son of a horse that won two common races out of a mare that couldn't win any. Nobody ever thought the first three were anything but good. Stymie began as a $1,500 plater that couldn't get out of his own way. Stymie wasn't, of course, as good as any of the three, but he was immeasurably tougher. Could he have got to the races one more time, he would have started as many times as all three of the others together. If you want to clutter your mind with a perfectly useless bit of information, Man of War made his reputation by blazing 19 miles in 5 furlongs. Equipoise, stopping now and then to grow a new foot, ran just a trifle over 50 miles in competition. Whirlaway lasted a little longer, and lacked half a furlong of running 66 miles. But Stymie's journey to leadership among the world's money winners took him 142 miles, plus half a furlong and 60 yards. That's more than the other three together. Man of War and Equipoise and Whirlaway each won the first time out at short odds, as they were expected to do. Stymie was 31-1 in a $2,500 claiming race, and he ran as he was expected to do, finishing seventh. He was out 14 times before he could win, and that was a $3,300 claimer. You are not to imagine that Stymie was accidentally and mistakenly dropped into a claiming race before anyone appreciated his quality. He ran 12 times in claiming races and got beaten 11 of them. He was, until the fall of his two-year-old season, right where he belonged. Then, from this beginning, he went on to win $918,485. This is, you will see, basically the story of the ugly duckling, of Cinderella among the ashes, of Dick Whittington and his cat, and of all the world's stories none has ever preferred to that which leads to the public and very glorious triumph of the oppressed and the downtrodden. Jamaica's horse players are, to some extent, oppressed and downtrodden, and perhaps in Stymie they have a vicarious success. The horse envisioned by a breeder in Kentucky or elsewhere is the son of a Derby winner out of an Oaks mare, which can sweep the futurities at two and the classics at three and then come back to the stud to send other great racers to the wars. These are, roughly, the specifications which fit such horses as Citation and Count Fleet and War Admiral and the like. But the racetrackers, I think, save most of their affection for the Exterminators and the Stymies and the Seabiscuits, who do it the hard way in the handicaps, pounding out mile after bitter mile, giving weight and taking the tracks, wet or dry, running for any jockey and trying with what they've got, even when they haven't got enough. That's why Stymie fitted a farewell at Jamaica better than a welcome in Kentucky. He's a curious horse, this obscurely bred Texas product. This tourist leaned on Jack Skinner's back fence at Middleburg one December for maybe half an hour, just studying Stymie, which did not return the compliment, but went on picking on the scanty winter grass. Except for the crooked blaze, which gives him a devil-may-care expression, he is the most average horse you ever saw. Not tall, not short, not long, not close coupled. Good bone, good muscle, good chest, nothing outstanding, nothing poor. As a result, of course, he is almost perfectly balanced, and maybe this is what makes him tick. However, there is another matter. When Stymie comes to the peak of condition, he exudes vitality, so he expects to hear it crackle. He comes to a hard, lean fitness that you seldom see in domestic animals, unless in a hunting dog that has been working steadily, or perhaps a hunter that has been having his 10 miles a day over the field. This is when, as Hirsch Jacobs says, he gets rough. It isn't temper or meanness. He just gets so full of himself that he wants things to happen. The faster he goes, the higher he carries his head, which is all wrong according to the book, but is a characteristic of the tribe of Man of War to which he is inbred. This tourist, who doesn't scare easily in print, will long remember the way Stymie came around the turn in the Pimlico Cup handicap with his copper mane flying in the wind, making pretty good horses look as if they just remembered a pressing engagement with a quarter pole. He is not a great horse in the sense that Man of War and Equipoise were great. He isn't versatile. There are dozens of horses around that can beat him at a mile. And even at a mile and a quarter, he would have trouble with Armed or Lucky Draw, just as he had trouble with Devil Diver. He can't make his own pace, and he can't win slow races. He needs something up ahead to draw the speed from the field, to soften it up for his long, sweeping rush at the end. But give him a field with speed in it at a mile and a half or more, and horses had better get out of his way, even Whirl Away. Anyway, another fine and ardent and satisfactory story of the turf was brought to a close at Jamaica. And it was happy to note that, for all the long campaign, there was no battered and limping warrior which left it. Stymie never looked better, with his bronze coat and great plume, and their high head carried as proudly as ever. As he stood for the last time before the stands, people around the winner's enclosure were shouting to the groom, "Bring him in here, for just one more time." The groom didn't obey, and probably he was right. Dymene never got in a winner's circle without working for it, and it was no time to begin.
Well, Stymie went to stud right up here for on Dr. Charlie Haggard's farm, right up here on the Paris Pike. They call it Haggard Farm. Dr. Charlie called it something else. It was Green Acres or Green Meadows or something like that. Green something or other. Ed Fallon could tell you, but the name of the farm when Doc Charlie owned it slips my mind. But anyway, that's where he went to stud, the Haggard Farm right up here, right up in the training center. And he did very well. You know, he was kind of old when he went to stud, but he sired some nice stakes winners, and he was a pretty good broodmare sire. So a little better than an empty stall. Well, De Hare has sired stakes winners every year since his first crop hit the races. He's never missed. First, it was Gypsy Robin. She started out by winning the sorority stakes as a two-year-old, then kept right on going. Won two grade two stakes at Keenan, one stakes at Del Mar, stakes at Presque Isle, and finished second in the grade one test at Saratoga. Earned $598,000. Moving on to this year, the 2015 stakes winner, Mam Duha. She won the correction at Aqueducts and placed in the grade two distaff already this year. After taking the Cicada Stakes and the Rufus Stakes at Aqueduct in 2014. Oh, she also won stakes at Laurel last year as a two-year-old. She's a four-year-old. She goes today in the Vacancy Graded Stakes in New York. She's earned over $310,000 and counting. Now, here's a couple of interesting facts. De Hare has 16% black-type horses from starters, 13% stakes winners from foals, and those are tough statistics to top among stallions standing for 5,000 live foal. Give stallion manager Ken Barnes at Shadwell Farm a call at 859-224-4585. Getting late in the breeding season, so ask him about possible breeding incentives and see the website at shadwellfarm.com.
.com/APR and discover why American Produce Records has been the choice of bloodstock and racing professionals for generations and why a new generation is using APR online.
All right. Well, let's see. I got to do this first, don't I? Yeah. May 13. 13 grade one winners. Make it. Start all over again, Ursula. This isn't my day. Make that 13. 13 grade one winners by the big horse sire, Tis Now. May 9 at Santa Anita, the My Sweet Addiction, a daughter of Tis Now, won the grade one $300,000 vanity handicap. Bred and owned by Pamela Zebuth. My Sweet Addiction led at every pole in the vanity. Model consistency, she's been out of the money but once in her 10 career starts. Then the very next day at Santa Anita, the grade 3 Lazaro Barrera Stakes was won by a Kentuckian, a 3-year-old colt by Tis Now. Bred by Stone Street Thoroughbred Holdings and sold to Keeneland as a yearling for $610,000. Kentuckian was dubbed a rising star by Thoroughbred Daily News after winning his first start by 11 lengths. Third in his second start after a troubled trip in the San Pedro Stakes, Kentuckian won the Las Barrero by 6 1/4 lengths under a snug hole. He's given every indication that he just might be the next big horse for his sire. Tis Now was one of but three stallions to sire a $1 million sales colt and a $1 million sales filly in 2014. He's also a big horse sire at the sales. Stands at Windstar Farm. For more on the Windstar stands, get in touch with Darren Fox or Sean Tugel or Kyle Wilson at 859-873-1717 and see the website at windstarfarm.com. All righty, I've got Steve Moody with me. They're running a stakes race up at the Kirterra Stakes Central. I forget what they call it. Up at Churchill today in two divisions, I believe. So, Steve, give me two winners.
All right, Ursula. Yeah, the Kirtana Stakes, fillies and mares 3 and up, going 1 3/8 on the turf. I got had 21 runners, and so they split it into two divisions. And Kirtana, I think she ran for Tom Proctor, if I remember right, but it's been several years back. But anyway, the first division, that's the eighth race. Turf is firm at Churchill today. One scratch in the eighth, the 8-horse Super Sky is out. I like Marashika in this first division. Ursula, a decent price, 5-1. She won the flaming page at Woodbine last fall, going a mile and a half, and then won last time out at Keeneland in a two other than allowance, also at a mile and a half. So she likes the distance. She came out of that race at Keeneland with a good work. She's won at Churchill in the past. So I think she's got a big shot in here. I'd be surprised to get 5-1. If I do, I may have to go to the window. But I like her. The bottom horse, Stellaris, had the lead last time out. Wasn't able to hold it. That was in the same race with Marashika. And so she'll try to turn the tables on her today. And then the 9-horse, Maria, ran into Bewitched Stakes out at Keeneland. Finished well in that race. Didn't win, but ran a good race. She's the sort of lukewarm second choice in there at 7-2, and give her a big shot. So we're gonna go. Let's see, 2-10-9, Marashika in the first division, and in the second division is the last race, the 11th race. Field of 11 in here, and I went for a little bigger price in here, Ursula, the 10-horse Antonia Autumn. She's a dedicated closer, but she came back off of a layoff last time out, I thought, with a good race in the Bewitch, which is a grade 3 stake. She broke poorly that day, but still finished well to be third. She ran well and only started at Churchill, and I think she got a chance at a big price in here. Ben Colebrook trains her, and James Graham picks up the mount today, and she's going to be coming from out of the clouds, but I give her a shot in here. The favorite will most likely be the Ramsey's horse, Always Kitten. She's going to be running. She ran into very one last time out at Gulfstream, so she's dropping into a softer spot. She'll be running at the end as well. And then the 5, Wicked Temper, another big price, 15-1, came from out of Keeneland with awful layoff. Ran a pretty good race there. Figured need to race after the layoff, and I think she can move forward. But we'll go for the upset here, the 10-horse Antonia Autumn, 10-4-5 in the second division of the Kirtana.
Who do you like in the Preakness?
Well, I think that the favorite's going to be probably tough to beat. I think that Firing Line, you know, you got to look pretty hard at him, a little shorter distance, but I'd probably stick with the favorite, but not a great betting race unless you want to try to play the superfecta maybe and try to catch something underneath, you know, a couple of prices there. I think I looked at a couple of them that interested me for that might clunk up in there third or fourth. I think Dallas's horse has a chance, Tail of Verve, to get maybe a piece. And there was one other one that name escapes me. But to me, that looks like the bet. I can't see the, you know, I'd have to think that Pharaoh is going to be tough. Although it is interesting that Baffert's running both his horses in there. Kind of a little surprising to me, but we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, well, he's got different owners.
Well, I understand that, and I guess that
something to do with it. Again,
rivalry is obviously there, and both owners, you know, the other owner wants to go, so
yeah,
I understand him doing it. But it would be, of course, it's been done before, where trainers won the trainer has won the Triple Crown without the horse winning the Triple Crown. I think Lucas did that one year, but we'll see if it happens again.
All right. Well, thanks, Steve. I appreciate it. It's been Steve Moody, the author of the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet. You can go to brisnet.com, BRISNET.com, and pick up your copy, or usually where they sell them is the Daily Racing Form out of Keenan. So thank you so much, Steve. Appreciate it.
All right, Ursula.
Well, the first foals to race by Arch 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 are two-year-olds this year. And judging by the way they sold it to various two-year-old auctions and by the performance of his first starter, it's going to be a great year. His two-year-olds are sold for $250,000, $200,000, $150,000, $120,000. Buyers obviously like what they see. Then his first to reach the races really opened some eyes. Tia Floor of Philly took on the colts in a maiden special at Keeneland and won by 9 1/4 lengths. No contest. And there's more on the way. Arch 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 covered 475 mares in his first three seasons at stud. He was busy. Breeders liked his looks, liked his foals, and came back for more. Arch 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 is the only son of Arch. Arch stands for 40,000. To win stakes at both 2 and 3. He's a grade one winner, a multiple graded stakes winner, and he earned over 832,000. He also descends from a terrific female family. He stands for $9,000 doing a full stands of nurses. Call Des Dempsey or Brian Lyle or Mark Toothacker at 859-294-0030. Ask about possible breeding incentives and see the website at spendthrift.com. All right, well, I've got about 5 minutes. Is that right?
Yeah.
I can't do all of this, but I told you I was going to talk about a Preakness winner, the Preakness of 1951, and the winner was a horse named Bowl, and I don't guess anybody in the world remembers Bowl. There's a few of us around, I guess. He was bred by Brookmead Farm and trained by Preston Birch, a Hall of Fame trainer. Elliot Birch's dad, incidentally. He was by a horse named By Jiminy, who, if you ever want to win a trivia contest, and when it comes to horse racing, ask him who the champion three-year-old was in 1944, and nobody in the world remembers. Well, it was By Jiminy. Yeah. By Jiminy was the son of Pharamond II, out of Bug and a Rug, by Blue Larkspur. It's, I'm pretty sure that's an old E.R. Bradley family, Colonel E.R. Bradley female family. By Jimmy, it was a pretty good racehorse, but it was kind of a weak year, to tell you the truth. Bowl was out of a mare named Little Rebel by John P. Greer. Of course, John P. Greer was Man of War's greatest rival. John P. Greer was by Whisperum II out of Wonder. And Little Rebel by John P. Greer was out of Warrior Lass, and Warrior Lass was by Man of War. Great female family of humanity by Voter, Sweetheart, then Warrior Lass, Little Rebel. Great female family. And Bowl just won 3 of his 7 starts as a Preakness. The Preakness was by far his most important victory. He picked up a win purse for $83,110. His time for the mile 3/16 was a pretty good time, 1:56.2. And he was the second winner of the race for Brookmead Stables. The first was High Quest, who had upset his much better-known stablemate, Cavalcade, back in the 1934 Preakness Stakes. Of course, Cavalcade had won the Kentucky Derby, beating Discovery. And let's see, but Discovery, I believe, was third in that Preakness, incidentally, to High Quest, Cavalcade, and then Discovery again. Of course, High Quest and Cavalcade didn't do a whole lot of stud. Cavalcade was a bust. High Quest sired a few things, but Discovery went on to become a top sire, especially was an outstanding broodmare sire. He was the fourth winner of the Preakness for Eddie Arcaro. He'd won it in 1941 with Whirlaway for KMF, won it with Citation in 1948, and then he won it with Hill Prince in 1950. This is the horse that went on to be the champion three-year-old that year. It was not the Preakness winner, Bowl, but it was Counterpoint. And Counterpoint was an excellent racehorse. All righty, we're about to run out of time. We've got a couple of minutes here. Once again, let me give you the winners out of the training center. Where in the hell did I put the list? Here we are. Since last week's show, winners from the training center were trained by Marco Castaneda. Tommy Short had a pair of them, one in Mountaineer, one in Belterra. Saw Tommy out here this morning. He was looking good. Ricardo Rangel, Chuck Peary, won one at Churchill. Scooty Hughes, and then Matt Frazier won one for his dad, and one at named Toby's Shadow Quarter Horse up at Indiana Downs. Well, thank you all for putting up with me today. Mary Jane, you did a fine job down there. You don't have to. She texted an apology to me. I don't know what the hell she's apologizing to me for. I mess it up more than she does. You're number one, Mary Jane, in my book. And Ressie, you're not as cute as Mary Jane, but you're okay, too. All right. We'll talk to you all next week.